Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. What a good, good Father we have. Thank you, Jesus. Not only is he our rock, but then he also sustains us and keeps us grounded. Amen. I'm so grateful that we do not have to go through this life alone. And I'm so excited to be in the house of the Lord. I know midweek we're all tired. It's already felt like a full week. But I am ready to have some church, because I don't have to worry about anything else. I just have to think about the Lord. What a privilege. So tonight, you have me, and the lesson that I have today, I have had for a few years, seems like a theme, but the Lord brought it to my attention a few weeks ago that he would like me to share tonight. And the saying, once you see it, you can't unsee it, applies to this lesson for me tonight. And when Pastor was teaching on Sunday and mentioned Joshua and Rahab and Achan, I said, whoa, 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 whoa. You're going into my notes. But it was confirmation for me, because I hadn't spoke with him and he hadn't spoke with me. But the Lord can speak to both of us. And so I'm just grateful for confirmation that the Lord is gracious to give. So tonight we are going in Joshua 6:25. We're going to start there. And that's going to be one of the key verses. And then the next couple verses will be in Joshua 7:20 and 21. You may stand if you can. Joshua 6:25. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And in Joshua 7:20 through 21, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. One story features a very unlikely ally who saved the lives of two men of God, keeping them hidden. This is in contrast to the story that happened right after, where a man of God lost his life because of what he kept hidden in the earth. And with the help of the Lord tonight, I'm going to teach on this title, Hidden in the Earth. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, whatever you want accomplished tonight, I pray that your will be done. However you want to use this message, I'm just going to share it, because you know the hearts of those that are going to receive it. Help us, Lord Jesus, to not worry about anything else right now except for your word and what you want us to receive, so that we can be who you have called us to be, so that we can be led to repentance and be better than who we were and where we were before. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This story is familiar to many, but if you don't know, Rahab was not a godly woman. When Joshua's men met her, she lived on the outskirts of the city where her home was. If you read the scripture, her home was actually against the wall. And I suspect that it would make sense because she was in a very promiscuous profession. I'm sure they wanted to keep her kind of at the edge of the city. And it might be why the spies chose her house to lodge. I'm going to try to give them the benefit of the doubt as to why they chose her house. But Rahab, the harlot, was not a person of high stature. She did not have a royal pedigree, as we know of at this point in her story. And even if Rahab was accepted by certain individuals who kept her very much employed, I'm sure that she was shamed and shunned by the majority. But here we see that none of that mattered at all. Rahab could have chosen to turn away the spies and go back to her own lifestyle. But there was something inside of her heart that no one could see, a hopeful curiosity. I hope that this will be a reminder, just even thinking of that, that we really should never judge a book by its cover. But you can judge it by its final chapter. We all read those books where we got really into it, and then in the last chapter, we're like, this book was terrible. I wasted 3 months of my life. And we don't recommend it to anyone. That's all we ever think of. Forget about all the good stuff that happened before that last chapter. That last chapter says it all. And the Lord does say we will be known by our fruit. We just don't know what God is doing inside of a person, but he does. A woman who shared almost all of herself, but she kept one thing hidden away. A burning faith. Might have been small, but it was still faith. Perhaps seeing these Israelite spies, Rahab felt that quiet spark again. Her faith is instantly challenged when the king of Jericho hears that there are spies in her home. In Joshua 2:2-5. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came unto men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." The king of Jericho sends men to retrieve the spies, but Rahab hides and protects them, putting her own house and herself in jeopardy, and she saves their lives. This act was heroic and brave, and some people might say it was foolish. Why would this strange woman, someone with a questionable reputation at best, put her life on the line for two Jewish spies? What compelled Rahab to protect and hide these men? What made them different from all the other men who visited her house? After the king's men leave and the spies come out of hiding, they express their gratitude to Rahab, and it is when we hear her response that gives us a clue as to why she did hide them. Joshua 2:9-11. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab had heard great testimonies of God delivering the children of Israel, saving their lives. And by hearing what he did for others, I wonder if that put this little ember of hope and faith within her, that maybe it is possible that if she believed, that maybe God could save her the same way that they saved them. Maybe Rahab thought that these spies were the answer to her prayers, her dreams for a better life, a new life, a life different than the one that she had been leading. This is all speculation. We don't know, but her actions kind of tell us a story. Maybe if she could save them, they could save her too. And in fact, she asks for protection, not just for herself, but also for her family when the children of Israel come back. And the spies agreed, and they tell Rahab to gather everyone within her home and bind a scarlet thread in the window. And she does. And the spies return to camp, and they tell Joshua everything, and he will keep their word. Now, before the children of Israel conquered Jericho, Joshua had a command given by the Lord. He gave specific instructions on what to do after they shouted. Joshua 6:16-19. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. We like to say that part. But he said a lot more. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep or guard yourselves from the accursed thing. Why? Lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. We like to focus on the victory and the shouting part, and that is a good thing, but there is another part of this, a very important part, that a commandment of obedience was required for his people. Only Rahab and her family should live because of her good deeds, and all the valuables belong to the treasury of the Lord, as not to contaminate themselves and the entire camp. But one man does not obey Joshua's instructions. You know, there's always one. When I was reading this story, the Lord brought to my mind when we were in school and we had a substitute teacher and she wheels in that TV. Man, you are so happy. You're like, yes, everybody be quiet. Don't tell her. Don't tell her anything. And then one student goes, we're supposed to have a test. You're like, gosh, be quiet. And then there goes that TV. And you're like, oh, we were almost there. We almost had it. We were so close to freedom. Joshua says, this is what we have to do to conquer the city and protect ourselves. This is what has to happen. We are going to march around the walls of Jericho 6 times quietly. But on the 7th time, the priests will blow their trumpets and we will shout. And the walls will crumble. It actually says they will fall. They'll come down, making a way in. The word of the Lord says flat. But wait, before you step into the city, before you enter into the accursed place, here's a warning. You cannot do whatever you want. You can't touch whatever you want to touch. You can't take what you want to take. Yes, God said the land was ours. Yes, he is with us, but we have to honor the Lord as we do it. No one's going to survive except for Rahab and her family. Nothing is kept except for what goes into the treasury, and that is it. No exceptions. Because what the people of Jericho has dedicated as their own ungodly lifestyles cannot influence the camp of Israel. And so they take the city, and they save Rahab as promised. And after all that is done, the Bible says this is the end. Sorry, the Bible says this at the end of Joshua 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. A great victory. And then there's that one person. Because in Joshua 7, it begins in verse 1, but. And we know that here. The revolving word. Gosh. If it was good before, it's not going to be good after. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Yes, we can do all the shouting that we want, but if we are not obedient to the entire command, we have transgressed against the Lord. And the way that they introduce Achan here in this way was to remind us of his generational significance. This was not someone from Jericho. This was not someone outside of God's chosen people like Rahab. Achan had a rich family history tied and connected to the tribe of Judah. Yet here he was. But Joshua isn't aware of what Achan has done yet. And so Joshua continues to the next place to have another victory, sending spies to God to gather information about Ai. And they report back to not send a lot of people in Joshua 7:3, for there are but a few. There's only a few men in the enemy camp. Let's not send all of ours, just enough. It'll be fine. It's no big deal. God is with us. We have the victory. But the men of Ai prevailed against Joshua's men, killing 36 of them. You know, the decisions that we make, they do not stay with us. When we sin against God, it affects our family and the entire body of Christ because we are connected to others. When people say, "It's my life, leave me alone. I'm not hurting anybody. Let me do whatever I want." That's false. That's what the enemy wants you to believe, so that you will be blinded by the damage that it's causing everybody else. If we are trying to hide what we're doing, and we're trying to ride the coattails of our family legacy, it's not going to work. If we're thinking our last name or our ministry we've always had is enough to be okay, it is not. Your family bloodline is not going to save you. It's going to be your full obedience to the Lord. God wants a personal relationship with you, and the only person who can change that is you. And poor Joshua was so grieved that he rent his clothes and fell on his face to the Lord. Can you imagine not knowing what was happening? Where did we go wrong? I did everything you asked me to do, Lord. What happened? You said we all transgressed. Joshua 7, 12 through 14, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. We are not going to be effective in the battle until we remove the accursed thing from among us. So Joshua, one by one, goes through the tribes to search for who took the accursed thing. And it doesn't take long, of course, before the tribe of Judah is chosen and Achan is removed. Joshua 7, 19 through 21. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. To covet is not just to want, it's to desire. When we desire what doesn't belong to us, it takes our focus off of the mission that we were originally called to do. And if you have to hide it, then maybe God doesn't want you to have it. But Sister JC, it's only a piece of clothing. It's only money. It doesn't matter. God said no. And if there's a reason that he doesn't want you to have it, Achan, it's for your own good. Now, they weren't in covenant, but you were. So there are some things that you can't do, and there's some things that you can't have because you are set apart. And do you know the value of what Achan stole? My Bible at home actually told me an estimation. 200 shekels was about $130. A wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight was about $490. So for $620 and a fancy robe, 36 men died, and Achan and his family were going to be put to death as well. Saying that nobody will get hurt when we disobey God is a lie from the pit of hell. And I know we don't like to preach about hell, but it's real. It's not only about you. He didn't just covet what the people of Jericho had. He stole it, and he brought it into the camp. And I feel like taking this a step further, and I guess you can get mad at me if you want. You know, that's fine. But what you do at home is going to affect the house of God. What you allow in your family is going to affect the family of God. It's going to change the atmosphere in here. And I feel like a lot of the messages that we've been hearing is to help us see what God doesn't want us to have and repent and let it go. After all these years, I think there are still things that we can let go of. We're never perfect. And it's not only on the shoulders of Joshua. So, Pastor, I'm going to let you off the hook a little bit. It's not only on the shoulders of the pastor and the pastor's family. It's easy to pick on them because they're up here, they're serving, they come here and they serve. But what about us? What about you? It's easy to talk about them and point some stuff out. But we all are responsible to do what God has asked us to do. Joshua did what he needed to do. They didn't have the victory because Joshua didn't obey. It was because Achan didn't obey what Joshua told him to do. And we have to stop making excuses, and we have to get right with the Lord, not just for our souls, but for the souls of those that we should care about, because we are knit together in the Lord. Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Rahab was used by God to fulfill a promise. Yes, Rahab the harlot, the one without the fancy last name or the shiny generational reputation, but the one who repented and followed God, the one who turned away from her lifestyle and was adopted into the family of God. She was accepted into the camp, and she is going to go on to marry Salmon, who is the father of Boaz. And Boaz eventually is going to become the great-great-grandfather of David, King David. And as most of us know, that is through David's lineage that the Lord Jesus Christ was birthed. And God manifested himself as a man born into a family that stemmed from a harlot. Who does that but the Lord? He brings redemption to the broken people whose past are unclean, that if they would just repent and draw near to him, he's going to make them part of his family. And only our past will destroy us if we let it. Our futures will get destroyed if we let it. We have mercy and grace now. What do you have hidden in the earth, Achan? We must confess it to the Lord and let him change us. James 2:23-26. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then now how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And I know we want to see revival and great things happening here, and they are happening, but we are still in a purification process, I feel, in the spirit. And we have to have hope, and we have to hold on. But we can't just talk about it. We have to be about it. We have to walk. Can't just talk. We have to do more than just profess that we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Our actions need to reflect that we trust and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Achan knew the part. He played the part. He looked the part. He knew the law. He was part of a powerful tribe in Israel, the tribe of Judah. And it helped them, what? Zero. Because he didn't let what he knew in his mind to come down into his heart, to be a part of who he was. Are we going to struggle? Yes, of course. Are we going to fall? Yes, we already did today. But we can choose to confess to the Lord those sins in the earth and repent, because he is gracious enough to forgive. We have to get to the place where what we know becomes who we are. Rahab's past did not dictate her future, because her actions showed her growing faith in the Lord. I know, she said. I know. Do we know? It was what happened. Her actions, it helped redeem and rewrite her story. And I'm going to confess something right now as somebody who has kind of a Rahab story. But when I was in the world, it didn't matter to me one bit if you said that you were a Christian. I'd make fun of you anyway, but it really didn't matter to me. I could care less about your Christianity, really. But when it mattered to me was when you said you were a Christian, but you didn't act like it. That's when it mattered. When you said that you believed in God, but then you turned around and you spoke harsh things. When you said you believed in God, but then you still turned around and looked like the world and acted like the world, it didn't make me think that you really believed God. Because you were claiming to be something with your mouth, but your actions said something different. And we all have a choice to obey or not. And usually this is done in private. But whatever we do in private, it's going to ripple out publicly. Eventually, what is hidden in the earth will reveal itself one way or another. The downfall of Achan, it just pulls on my heart, because it did not have to be that way. He had all the spiritual tools that he needed to be a great man of God and to leave a legacy worth talking about. He was kept and he was protected from the life that Rahab experienced, and yet he still wasn't satisfied. He still wanted more, even though he wasn't lacking anything. What someone else has really is not our concern. It's easy to look at what they have, whether it's a house, whether it's a job, whether it's clothes, whether it's friends, whether it's popularity, whatever it is, influence. Fill in the blank. It's not our concern. God didn't give it to us, at least not in that way. We have other blessings, and somebody's looking at us wishing they had what we had. Achan disobeyed the Lord's direct and simple orders that Joshua clearly communicated. He was very clear. And in the same moment, at the same time, you do realize it was on the same time. While Rahab left her old life, while she stepped out, he stepped into sin. And the Lord spoke to me before I came here and said, that's how two people can get two different perspectives in one service. What is in your heart? What is hidden in your heart? Because pastor can preach the house down, and if you leave grumpy, that's not his fault. And the same thing, if somebody brings forth a word and it pricks you, what are you doing with it? You have to look at yourself and repent. Look at yourself and ask God, God, what do I have inside of me that needs to be brought out so that I could be effective in your kingdom? And also so that my influence is not a curse. Achan stepped out of the will of God. He made that choice in the moment as soon as he saw what he shouldn't have wanted. You know, he saw it. He could have left it there. There was that temptation. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you're going to sin. You have a choice in that moment. They were in the middle of Jericho together, Rahab and Achan at the same time, in the middle of the city. And he made a choice that changed everything. Our choices are going to determine if we're going to stay stuck in our sin or if we're going to move into righteousness. Rahab became a new creature by the redemptive power of God. And through her generational legacy, Christ was born. And he gives us new life now. And it is symbolic that there was a scarlet rope right in her window. It was like God saying, I'm going to use that today. My blood is going to flow out and change the world. But Achan allowed his impure desires and greed to drive him out of God's hands into spiritual and physical death. Him losing his life and his family losing their lives and being stoned to death and even burned is awful. It's terrible. But where is he going after this life? That's even worse. We have the power to be overcomers when we follow the Lord and we follow his ways and we allow his principles to also be our principles, and when we continue to stay in his will even if it's hard, because chasing shiny things is very easy nowadays. We all have phones. In 2 seconds we could be on Amazon and forget about it. But staying focused on the Lord takes both faith and obedience. God is in the business of redeeming hearts still and changing lives so that his name is glorified. And as I come to a close, I want to remind us, especially those of you who are the younger generation that have been brought into this church by birth, online and offline. Maybe you're a teenager and you don't understand some of the testimonies that you hear. You don't understand the Rahabs that you've heard. I've had young people tell me how inadequate and ineffective that they feel in the kingdom of God because they don't have a crazy, prophetic, powerful testimony that they've just been kept all these years. And I want you to know that some of you may have been in your church all your life and struggling with that, but I urge you that your testimony is just as powerful as Rahab. Joshua was just as victorious as Rahab was. It's not about what happens to you. It's about how you follow the Lord through it all. What would have happened to Achan if he would have come forth in repentance and confessing what he had done to the Lord, asking for mercy? We don't know. Instead of burying the accursed thing and hiding it and pushing it down until the man of God found it, maybe his story would have been different. We don't know. But your story is not less just because you were born into this truth. And your testimony is a gift, whatever it is, because you are still an example of God's love and of his mercy as he has kept you through your obedience. And I urge you to bring your questions to trusted people of faith. Don't be afraid to ask questions to the right people. I think sometimes we get nervous. Oh, questions, that's rebellion. Oh, no. No, they're curious. So if somebody, younger generation, is asking you a question, take time to answer it. Don't let your fear dictate how you serve. We're not going to get on that. Okay. Keep showing up and being obedient even when you don't want to. God's going to bless you for it. And when you might not appreciate having a squeaky clean testimony or, you know, a testimony not like Rahab or the motions of growing up in the church, count it all joy. You are blessed. And you have a choice to create a legacy that speaks of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can use anyone who follows him. And you don't have to be perfect. He didn't ask you to be perfect. He asked you to be obedient. And through your obedience, you will be perfected. Be obedient and be faithful. Let your actions tell the world that being a child of God is worth it. So look into your hidden earth and ask the Lord to reveal what it is that you need to repent of. And don't feel shame about it. It's going to be hard. But give it to God and understand that this is part of the process and that he has a plan for you. So why don't we stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to help us as we move forward. It might be heavy for some of us. There are some things that are really hidden in our earth. They're really deep in there. But we have a God who died on the cross. That impossible miracles are made possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And whatever it is that comes to your mind that you think is too hard for you, it's just too hard for me, Lord. I can't give it up. I don't know what to do. I can't fix it. Well, good news. He can. That's why we need him. Some of us think that we can take control. We got it, God. I can handle it. And what we do is we're burying it in our tents and we're affecting everybody else around us. And God is saying, let's dig it up. Let's see what's hidden in your earth, not to shame you, but because you are set apart for a better purpose. God, we love you. We are so thankful for your mercy tonight. I pray, God, that this word will prick our hearts as we move forward in our days. as we go to our homes and as we serve our families and as we go to work, Lord God, help us, Lord, to honor you in the little things and in the big. I pray for every young person right now who can hear my voice, that they will trust in you, that when things are hard and scary, they do not need to be afraid. That's what your repentance is for and your mercy is for, and your blood covers all sin. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for what you are doing in this body. We thank you, Lord, for the revival that is to come. We know that it's coming, and you are preparing your people to receive those souls with love, your love, so that we can love these babies in Christ and that we can help accomplish your will. I pray, Lord Jesus, over every family. That they will trust in you. Reveal to them what is hidden so that they can remove of the accursed thing and be a blessing to the house of God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Pray over every person right now as we leave this place. I pray for your peace to be upon them and for your love and your mercy to be evident daily. In Jesus' name, amen.